country music's identity is connected to a lot of things, including heartbreak, a sense of home, and often alcohol. For decades, songs have pointed to alcohol as a way to forget hard times and drown our sorrows. But our next guest has seen a change in recent years. Alcohol is being sung about more as something fun, and many musicians are cashing in by launching their own alcohol brands or opening their own bars. Emily Yar is a reporter covering pop culture and entertainment for The Washington Post. Her recent piece is called Sobering Truths, Inside Country Music's Complex and Increasingly Lucrative Love Affair with Alcohol. Emily, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, what keyed you into this changing relationship between alcohol and country music and made you want to write about it?
I think the first thing that really made me think about this story was actually, it was about 4 years ago, the summer of 2014, and all of a sudden there were all of these headlines about things happening at these big country concerts, at arenas and stadiums, and they were all alcohol related. There were, you know, a ton of people at these shows being taken to the hospital, you know, for getting too drunk. There were arrests. One person actually died. He fell after drinking too much. And so a lot of people, I think, then there were all these stories sort of written about, hey, what's going on with country music? Why are they having all of the, like, why is all of this happening? And I think people started to kind of connect it to the newer music of the genre, and a lot of it has to do with partying and drinking with your friends. And so even though maybe there wasn't, you know, a statistical, like, connection between the two, a lot of people kind of made that connection in their own minds, and that's when I started to pay more attention to it. Definitely back then.
And as you write, alcohol has had its place in country music for a long time, going back to early legends like Hank Williams. Here's a little bit of one of his songs, Tear in My Beer.
There's a tear in my beer, 'cause I'm crying for you, dear. You are on my lonely mind. Into these last 9 beers, I have shed a mist.
So, Emily, let's look back at the old days before we get into this more modern party atmosphere. We saw alcohol in country songs and the heartbreak that goes along with it, and in sort of the legendary of stars like Hank Williams. Can you talk about the old way a little bit?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that was a big part of this, too, is that drinking songs have been around in country music for decades and decades. I mean, you just played a very famous one from Hank Williams. And I think the interesting thing I found with this was it wasn't only what the singers were singing about in kind of, you know, the 40s, 50s, 60s in country music. It was also the way they lived. Hank Williams, as some people might know, he died when he was only 29 in 1953 after years and years of alcohol and drug abuse, and a lot of singers, they wanted to be like Hank Williams still, like he was their idol. And I found a surprising number of quotes from country singers saying that they just idolized Hank, they wanted to be like Hank, and they kind of thought to be a country star, you had to drink that much, you had to be kind of crazy and wild, even if that meant, you know, getting ill or dying young, that's just what they wanted to do. So it was interesting to see how the drinking wasn't just in the content, but in the behavior of a lot of the stars.
And the idea of the hard-living music star wasn't just country. You can think of a lot of rock stars. Was there something unique about alcohol in country music and in the performers?
Exactly, yeah. And I think, you know, the connection went so far back. You know, even in the early 1900s, it's the moonshine era. Like, a lot of early country singers were from there. And so I think that's where the connection kind of started. And yeah, that was one thing with this story I wanted to make clear. It's like, every genre has songs about drinking. People drink at concerts of all kinds. It's obviously not only in country music, but it just has had this really interesting relationship where it's almost to be considered like a quote-unquote authentic country singer. Drinking has to be a part of your brand. And so I kind of wanted to explore how that happened.
And now you mentioned a brand, and you write there's something different now in the way country music as a brand and country music and alcohol brands are going together. Talk about what you're seeing in recent years.
Yeah, so I'd seen a couple of these, and I didn't even know how widespread it was, but a lot of singers now have their own brands of rum or tequila or whiskey is a really big one, and wine. And so, you know, it kind of started with artists like Kenny Chesney. He's a hugely popular superstar, and he started his own brand of rum, and it kind of goes along very well with his sort of like island, you know, relaxation type Jimmy Buffett kind of vibes that he brings already. And he made a ton of money off of that. And same with Florida Georgia Line, who they sing about whiskey in their songs. They name drop Fireball in one of their earliest hits. And when they saw, they actually heard from Fireball that, hey, like, name dropping us in your song, like, we saw business because of that. So, you know, they kind of thought to start of their own. And it's really become a trend where there's, you know, a ton of singers like Blake Shelton has his own vodka. Miranda Lambert has a line of wine. They've seen it as this lucrative way to kind of capitalize on country fans and their love of alcohol.
And you're right, we're hearing it in the content, too, of the songs. More. Here's one example.
Yeah, everybody's working out, doing 12-ounce curls. Boys buzzing, hung up on the country girls. Fishing for the line that'll kick her heart in the gear. Hey, brother, need another over here.
So Cole Swindell there, brought to you by beer. And it's the songs now aren't, I mean, the I'm drinking to forget my heartache is still out there, but there's a lot more of this. Hey, we're partying with country music and alcohol.
Totally. That's become a huge trend in country music. And that kind of started, I would say, like maybe in the last 6 years or so. Its nickname is Bro Country, but the genre saw this explosion of young guys singing, and it's sort of, you know, it's become a joke now that every song has to be about, you know, drinking deer or drinking beer in the back of your truck tailgate. There's usually a pretty girl in tight jeans involved, and so beer became this thing that a lot of country songwriters leaned on. I mean, I guess in one sense, it's easy to rhyme, as you see in a lot of songs. But also, yeah, they saw the audiences, which is getting younger, and the genre is really, really connecting to this idea of, yeah, just hanging out with your friends drinking. And so there are some sad drinking songs, but usually you see it involved when there's a party mentioned in the song.
Talking to pop culture and entertainment reporter Emily Yar with the Washington Post, looking at a changing picture of alcohol in country music and a lot of money in the equation. Emily, we talked about the old days where the performers might sing about alcohol and drink even more of it to dangerous excess. You found that many of the singers, even though singing about the party alcohol life, don't drink. They may be sober or in recovery themselves.
Yeah, so this is another thing that I was really interested in. This probably could have been, you know, a separate story on its own, but there are a surprising amount of people in Nashville, which does have this very established, you know, drinking kind of culture, yeah, that either have been to rehab or they just don't want to drink for health reasons, and some of them still, the artists, still sing about it, and the songwriters still write about drinking songs. And, I mean, I personally, you know, I wondered if that was hard for them, but the artists I talked to really said they've been able to make it pretty separate, and even their fans know that, you know, they don't drink, but they'll still sing songs like, you know, Brantley Gilbert has had huge success with songs like, one's called Bottoms Up, another's called The Weeknd, and those were both, you know, released, like, since he's been to rehab, but he's, you know, still sings them, and fans still like it a lot, and I think there are probably more people in Nashville than people realize that, yeah, don't drink at all.
And you point toward one scene at a concert at the end. The headliner brings all the other acts out on stage, and they wheel a bar out onto the stage. They're looking, looks like they're drinking pretty hard. What are they drinking?
Yeah, so this was this former fiddle player for the band Perry told me that when the band Perry opened up for Brad Paisley, one of Brad Paisley's most famous songs is called Alcohol. And so at the end of their tour in 2012, yeah, they would wheel this bar on stage and people would be taking drinks and shots, but the cups would actually have lemonade vitamin water in them. And so he said it became this kind of running joke on tour that, I mean, I'm sure some people may have brought their own cups filled with who knows what on stage, but most of them were drinking water. And yeah, he said people ask him all the time, you know, oh, you were on like a country tour. That must have been so crazy. Tell me all your stories. He's like, you know what? Like, it was a job. We really didn't have that many crazy times. No matter how much the singers may sing about it, they probably lead a pretty different life off the road than people think.
Easier to rhyme beer than vitamin water, I guess.
Exactly. It would take some creative songwriting to rhyme that.
Now, one interesting note you had was a change in who is perceived as and marketed to as a country music fan. It used to be viewed as the music of, you know, working class or lower class America. Now it's this lucrative, maybe even wealthier than average market.
Yeah, so the demographics have been really changing, especially over the last decade. It has gotten very popular with younger listeners, you know, kind of in like the 18 to 24 range. The CMA, the Country Music Association have put out studies every year, and they found that it's actually increased 54% by that younger demographic over the last decade, and the annual household income is rising and rising right now. It's like around $82,000 a year, which is definitely above the national average. So I think people kind of have this picture of where country fans live and who they are, but it's getting more and more popular on the coast, not just in middle America, and younger listeners have really been flocking to it, and I think that is probably, it kind of goes hand in hand because artists know that it is, maybe younger listeners do like to party as they drink more, and so it kind of all works together as they incorporate alcohol in every part of their brand.
Now, I've seen objections raised in the hip-hop and rap worlds with name-dropping of alcohol brands and marketing mainly to African-American communities there. Is anybody raising a red flag here saying, hey, states like Wisconsin with significant drunk driving problems, maybe all this alcohol glorification isn't so great?
That was definitely a concern raised, and I got a lot of feedback on this story, and people, like a common thing I heard a lot was, yeah, exactly that, you know, people thinking, you know, yeah, I had noticed that country really endorses drinking a lot, and so I don't know if in the industry it's really been raised as much. I mean, I had some artists, actually, that I talked to say that they sometimes actually do look out at the crowd, and they get a little worried because they, you know, there are a lot of drunk people out there, but a lot of them said, you know, our fans are smart, like they know, they can make good decisions, they can get home safely. And so, yeah, but I'll be curious to see, you know, as it's kind of gaining steam, how people, yeah, react in the future, because it's definitely a concern.
And as we wrap up, this probably is going to change anytime soon because it looks like there's a lot of money involved.
There definitely is, especially with the branding. And a lot of singers are, you know, sponsored by alcohol companies, too, on their tours. And they've the companies, from what I've heard, you know, anecdotally, have found a lot of success in that. So I think as long as the audience enjoys it and likes it a lot, which definitely seems to be the case, yeah, I think this trend looks like it's going to continue.
Emily, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Great. Thanks so much.
Emily Yar covers pop culture and entertainment for The Washington Post. She was with us to talk about the changing relationship between country music and alcohol.